Hello, and welcome to this Know the News podcast. Right on the first guess, I'm not Rusty Turner. He retired. And I'm not Dave Porozik, whose voice you often hear in this space. It's not his turn. Three of us are taking on Know the News with Rusty's retirement. So next week, your host will be Greg Harton, editorial page editor for the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm Becca Martin Brown, features editor, and I'll be back around in a couple of weeks. Earlier this week, I had an opportunity to chat with John Jetter, the music director of the Fort Smith Symphony. The orchestra is celebrating its 100th birthday with its 23-24 season, and John has some amazing music lined up, and he's always a lot of fun to talk to. Listen in to our conversation. I'm excited to tell you that our guest today is John Jetter, the music director of the Fort Smith Symphony, and we are going to talk about the 100th anniversary of the orchestra. John, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you? How exciting.
Yeah, a lot going on. It's a big milestone for sure.
Tell me what Fort Smith and the orchestra were like when you came there in what year?
96, 97, I think. Yeah. So, well, it was an orchestra that was real excited to go to the next step. It had basically been a community orchestra for a long time. And going back to 1923, the growth of it had just been, I would say, very, very slow, you know, very gradual. And there were, when I visited the orchestra for the first time, there were some board members who were very much like, you know, if you're interested in coming here, you know, we could just tell you that the community is very much supportive of the idea of having the orchestra like really grow and to just be more, to work on the artistic quality. And as I've, you know, sometimes it's okay to say, I mean, it's been a while. And when I first came to the orchestra, you know, the artistic quality was, you know, was modest. They had made some good changes, but the orchestra was pretty small. We were in the same concert hall we are now, but it was before it was totally redone. So the concert hall was definitely aging. So yeah, there's been a lot of changes for sure.
How many musicians do you think you started with in the 90s, and how many do you have now?
Well, it's going to depend on the concert, but I think back then, maybe like a large orchestra was 65, maybe, or something like that. And we've done concerts with over 100 musicians. You know, it depends on the program, but having around 100 musicians, post-COVID, having around 100 musicians was very common. And then we had to, of course, pull back hugely during COVID. And now we're getting back into that range. But again, it depends, you know, it's not always about the numbers. It depends on the program. You know, if you're doing a program that doesn't need a lot of extra instruments, well, you don't need 100 people, basically.
Well, and we should say that during COVID, the orchestra never stopped performing.
Yeah, hopefully we won't have to relive that. But no. Yeah, we worked really closely with the Arkansas Department of Health, followed all of their protocols, followed all of the national protocols that we could get at the time. And a lot of that, of course, was figuring it out while we were doing it, and really created our own protocols. You know, even so much where people were saying, well, I don't think you have to do that exactly. You don't have to go that far. But yeah, we were able to do everything for, and we didn't have any, we did everything live, as you know, with all sorts of, you know, things we had to do. And it worked out well for us. I think people appreciated that we continued to move forward. And, you know, not to be political, I don't think this is political, but we were lucky to be in a state at that time and have a governor that wasn't going to shut everything down. You know, in a lot of states, had we been in a lot of states, we wouldn't have had a choice, you know. So it was really nice that even as, you know, as serious as the pandemic was, there was still that possibility for people to give it a try. And, you know, we, knock on wood, you know, we never had any issue with anyone getting COVID or anything like that. So
you survived successfully, and then it was time to program concerts for the 100th anniversary. How do you, was that a huge responsibility to think about, what am I going to program for turning 100?
Well, it was certainly a thought, you know, what, you know, basically, you know, are we going to have a big party all year, kind of, you know, celebration? And that's kind of, yeah, we thought, well, let's do something that's splashy, that kind of shows off the orchestra, and kind of celebrates a little bit either our past, or at least kind of celebrating the fact that we're here in Arkansas, we're in the South. Let's kind of celebrate where we are, but also move forward. And I think if anything, it's more about, you know, the next 100 years or next however, it's more about that really than looking back at the past and kind of the concerts that we hope to be able to continue to do in the future. So that was kind of the feel for it, is let's, you know, it's more about the next 100 years. It is about 100th anniversary, but, you know, one of the things is, okay, great, we're 100 now. What's the next, you know, X number of years going to bring? That sort of thing. So that was the idea.
So you start with Rachmaninoff and Gershwin, but you also start with a brand new piece of music. Talk a little bit about that.
So one of the things that we like to do is recognize where we are. And as you know, all of our recording projects have had to do with composers that have a link to our region. And we wanted to continue that and do something a little different. So there's a terrific young composer named Patrick Conlon, who's happens to be a member of the orchestra. He's played in the orchestra for a long time. He's at University of Central Oklahoma, involved in new music and sound technology and all that. So Patrick is actually our composer in residence for the whole season. And we're commissioning some pieces, including the official 100th anniversary piece. So he's called it Time Flies. And that's all I know. I know, you know, he knows he can write for a pretty big orchestra, because on that program we have, Bolero's the big piece in terms of instrumentation. It's a huge orchestra. So he has all those instruments at his disposal if he wants to. So we'll do that, that Rachmaninoff Rhapsody, An American in Paris, and Bolero. So it's a very celebratory sort of concert.
And then you've got country music and holiday music and...
Right. Well, the next concert is actually an outdoor concert in October. That's the second concert we do. And it's actually another celebration. It's celebrating the 100th anniversary of the ArcBest Corporation, same year. And Patrick is actually writing a piece for ArcBest to celebrate their 100th. So that's an outdoor concert in early October. And then looking at our region and knowing that country music is a big part of our regional history, we're doing this Nashville Legends concert, which would be great. In fact, that'll be a fun concert, because in addition to all those cool country and western, we have, you know, that joke, we like both kinds of music, country and western. We'll be doing music from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, which is a great score, just a fantastic spaghetti western, you know, from the 60s. It's going to be a great thing to listen to live. Then we do our Earquake Schools concerts. We have our holiday concert. March Classics is another really big concert with the Pines of Rome and Appalachian Spring and another Patrick Conlon piece. And then we're ending with maybe the most exciting one of all, Star Trek Into Darkness, where we perform the score to the showing of the film.
And those are so fun.
Yeah, those are great. And it's the score is by Michael Giacchino. It's fantastic. The orchestra is huge. And it's, you know, I think the movie's from 2013, 2014, and it's just an incredible score. I mean, it's super exciting. And of course, when you're watching the movie and when people have seen the movie, they know the music's there. But this opportunity to show the film and to have us live, it's really going to bring the music to the fore. And it's terrific. It's a really great score.
I know we talked before when you were doing a movie score that it's unbelievable how fast it goes and how you can't breathe until it's over.
Yeah, you know, there's a whole, I've got a, you know, these are done through the motion picture companies. So I do have kind of a mechanism there on the podium where I've got a my music, but I've also got a screen that has all this symbology on there to keep me in the right place. And that works pretty much all the time. You know, it's the same sort of symbology that works for when they do the recording sessions for the music. And it's a great experience. It's fun. It's exciting because really the music's written for the movies, but it wasn't written to be played live. You know, that wasn't the original purpose of it. So, you know, that's what makes it an extra challenge. You can just cut and paste and edit when you're making the movie as far as the music goes. But this is like, here you go. So it's kind of person against machine a little bit, really.
I remember at the end of the last time I saw a movie concert, you looked whooped.
Yeah, there was a lot. So that was must have been Raiders of the Lost Ark. That was a lot of fun to do that. So, yeah. So
it
we're looking.
Seems to me, if you're not a fan of orchestral music, that would be a really good gateway drug to orchestral music.
Yeah. And I think you, yes, I agree. I think you've also kind of hit the nail on the head that we're one of the things that we've been talking about. And you and I have talked about this or written about it, is we really want to emphasize to everyone that we play symphonic music and we play orchestral music. And that really us talking about classical music, it's almost not even an appropriate term anymore because, you know, we do, if you look at all of the concerts that we're doing this year, most of it isn't classical music. It just isn't, you know, it's country music, it's film music, it's holiday music. So what we love is we love the orchestra and we know that the orchestra can make anything sound great. And I think, you know, this is just a prejudice that we still have to work on. That people go, oh, classical music. And the fact of the matter is orchestra music, I mean, there's so much of it. And I've heard great symphonic rock concerts. There's some fantastic symphonic jazz collaborations out there that are great. And as we're moving forward, which is one of the main points of this season, is, you know, we're trying to promote the fact that, you know, as we progress, we want to continue, as we've been doing in recent years, to present a lot of different types of music. Because really, if you think about classical music, although it spans a long period of time, it's kind of, for many people, it's kind of one genre, really, although it's multiple. And there's just so much great music out there. And the orchestra, you know, you can take the simplest music and you have an orchestra play it and it sounds great. It just sounds, you're totally different, you know? So I think that's what people need to know. It's about those sounds and all that combination of sound that still works best live. You can't really duplicate it. And there's so many ways to experience music, even in more of a maybe direct, typical concert format, but also in watching the motion picture or kids coming to, you know, more of an educational kind of concert. I mean, there's so many variables and I still don't totally know where some of those feelings by people who might go, well, I don't know about if I want to go to an orchestra concert. It's amazing to me how many people, although we have great attendance, you know that, but you'll come across people who will go, well, orchestra, I don't think I'd like that, but they've never been. And they also don't really know anything about it. So if you've never been and you don't really know anything yet, why would you not want to go? You know, where did they get that information that it wouldn't be, you know, a really cool thing?
And you don't even have to have a
I'm asking. I don't know.
You don't have to have a long dress or a tux jacket.
No.
Be comfortable at the Fort Smith Symphony.
No. And afterwards, also at the last couple of years and this year, afterwards, everyone's invited to go to a party across the street. All the concerts have after parties at the Bakery District. And the whole audience is invited. They either their electronic ticket or their physical ticket can be used as a beverage ticket, And there's live music across the street, and it's a chance for people to hang out, listen to more music. They can talk to some of the musicians. It's a very, you know, musical sort of evening. You know, you're right. You don't have to dress up. You do have to be clothed. Yes, we do have a clothed, you must wear clothing policy. But,
you don't have to be scared of coming.
Yeah. I mean, you can have your phone on at the concert as long as it's turned off, because your concert program is on your phone, actually. And that's a cool feature that we started doing during COVID. And we were actually one of the first orchestras that started doing that. Actually, there was a couple of companies that were just starting, and we got in on the front end, and now everyone's doing it, you know, because it's a great way to interact with the concert. So just make sure it's on mute. But it's, yeah, the concert hall's a really nice hall. And some of the concerts, you know, they're like an hour and 10 minutes. They're as long as a movie. Some of the concerts have intermissions, some of them don't. All the concerts start at 7. So if you can go to the concert and even go to the after party, there's still time to do stuff afterwards. So yeah, I think it's definitely worth attending.
Thank you so much for talking to us. And our listeners can read more about the 100th anniversary season in this Sunday's What's Up. Again, our guest has been John Jetter, the music director of the Fort Smith Symphony.
Thank you.
But I also want to tell you about some of the other great stories we have coming this weekend. As you know, the availability of affordable housing has become a major challenge in Northwest Arkansas. Reporter Stacy Ryburn will have a 3-part series on that topic this weekend, exploring what can be done to mitigate the housing crunch. Northwest Arkansas also has a number of deficient bridges, and the State Department of Transportation has a program to address those bridges on a partnership basis. Ron Wood informs us on that. Benton County officials are planning to put the costs of 2 courtrooms in next year's county budget. Tracy Neal will have that story for us. Downtown Bentonville is about to lose one of its parking lots so that construction of a new parking garage can begin. Bentonville City reporter Mike Jones reports. In some good news, public schools may be shut down for the summer, but they still serve up meals for kids. Al Gaspany reports on when and where those free meals will be offered this summer in Northwest Arkansas. From the River Valley, the city of Van Buren this week agreed to team up with Southeastern Freight Lines, a trucking and logistics company that has a facility there, to do a road improvement project in town. Thomas Sassenti reports. And in this Sunday's profile section, April Wallace introduces us to Chester Nordling of Rogers, a World War II veteran and retired attorney who turns 100 next week. In What's Up, you'll find all kinds of great content, including an exit interview, so to speak, with Miss Arkansas, Ebony Mitchell of Harrison, and an introduction to some of the contestants who might be crowned her successor on June 10th in Little Rock. Courtesy of our music editor, Monica Hooper, you'll meet Marsha Ball, one of the headliners at the new Eureka Springs Blues Party, June 1 through 4. And let our favorite guest writer, Laura Hightower, help you make your shopping list for Junk Ranch, June 2 and 3. All of this and more will be available to our subscribers this weekend on our tablet and smartphone apps and on our websites, nwaonline.com and rivervalleydemocratgazette.com. To those of you who are already our subscribers, thank you for your support of local journalism. If you're not a subscriber, I hope you'll consider being one. We even have a special offer for our podcast listeners. Just visit nwaonline.com/podcast23 to get started. You can also click on the subscribe button on our websites, nwaonline.com and rivervalleydemocratgazette.com, or just call us at 479-684-5509. Be sure to say you're a podcast listener. Know the News is a weekly podcast brought to you by the newsrooms of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the River Valley Democrat Gazette. Thanks for listening. Again, I'm Becca Martin Brown, your podcast host this week. Be sure and check out our What's Up podcast with Miss Arkansas, also available today. And come back around next week and chat with Greg Harton. He's a good one. Have a great weekend.